Hello, everybody, and welcome to Showhoppers Severance Season 1, Episode 9, The We Are. I'm Kurt, joined by my former high school teacher, Mr. Sal.
Let's change some minds.
Man, you know, I watched this episode, and I don't know if is that Natalie? Like,
close, very close. It's Angelo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, same vein.
Natalie was right there. So,
yeah. All right. Well, there's the confusion. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. But yeah, now I can remember it now that you said it. But here we are with the finale of Severance. Listen, it's definitely... Oh, we got to get right into the ratings here. I'm super curious as to how we rated the episode.
Ratings.
So, just going immediately, episode 7 thus far, I think, has been your and my highest rated episode. I think yours. Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Yep. Episode 8, bit of a falter down despite the ratings going up.
I mean, slightly. Yeah.
But still pretty good.
I still loved it.
Still good. Just not as good as the one before. And I remember you had predicted for that episode that might be the best episode of the season, episode 7.
Right.
Even though this gets like a 9.7 on IMDb.
This is one of the highest rated, by IMDb standards, one of the highest rated episodes we've ever covered.
Period. Yes. Full stop.
Yeah.
So it is.
I mean, I think International Assassin is probably as high or higher, and that might be it.
That really, yeah, that we've covered on the podcast. Yeah. I know some Breaking Bad episodes peak up pretty high, but that we covered on the podcast. This probably is either the highest or tied or right up there with International Assassin. Mm-hmm. From the Leftovers, check it out. We have the first three seasons all on our
all three backlog. Seasons now.
It was our one of the first series we started doing that and lost.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
see the origins of Showhoppers.
That's true.
The amount of regret I had doing this. And all that stuff. Happens to the best of us.
It does.
I'm an innie. I'm forced to record podcasts. I don't know what life's like. So, okay. Do you like this more than that episode? You might.
You're talking about more than episode 7.
Yeah, just comparing it to episode 7 here. Is this better? Obviously, the people think this is better, right? It's got way better ratings.
The people adore this.
It is... There's predictions we made right going into this, and not saying, you know, there's Irving is going to go looking for Burr. Helly does turn out to be someone important and is at the gala. She is.
I called that in episode 5, by the way.
Call that. Yes. she is someone important. She does work for the company. She's an Egan. She's an Egan. And Gabby is severed, or was severed, at least for that instance. Whether that's reversed, I don't know if we quite know, but.
I called that too. I think in episode 5, maybe?
I would take 50% on that.
No.
I'm taking credit on that, too.
Yeah.
Really, I call that, I'd say.
It wasn't episode 5, by the way. I think it was episode 6 that I called that. But
I think the episode after.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wherever she sees her in the park. Yeah, I think that's episode 6. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those are those predictions. But again, there's been a lot of predictions right with this series that we've gone throughout the time. Whether it's
just is that a good thing or a bad thing? Are we really clever, or is this series easy to predict?
I don't think it's so. Here's the thing, right? If a series doesn't go the way for Severance, I don't think it's a bad thing. The characters are pretty good, and they explore it beyond. Like, yes, you know what the surprise factor might be, like, okay, this might happen, and there's predictions we've gotten wrong, but this might be the case. Like, Irving is gonna look for Bert, okay, right? I said that last episode. It's not a huge that's not a hard thing to try to guess, but I don't know the means and like the circumstances, and we see in this episode, like, there's more to it, right? That it makes it a lot more interesting, like seeing it actually play out. So they don't cheapen it as much for me. I don't know if they do that for you. Just something to put out there that I think something to throw out there. As for your rating, though, because I'm kind of getting away from the rating. Oh, man. I don't know. Although I did look this up with you earlier today. At the time of this release of this, this finale, April 8th, 2022.
Right.
April 6th, I could find evidence on a lot of articles that they announced a season 2 is coming out. I don't know if there's even earlier instances of that being announced, but had you seen this finale, you can immediately go online and see, okay, there will be a season 2. That you could do for sure. You could watch it and then go and see that there's a season 2.
From a fan perspective, that's fantastic.
That is good.
from a creator perspective, that was freaking gutsy, unless knew and just weren't announcing.
Exactly. I'm not going to worry about the gutsy angle of it, because you know what? It worked out. It is what it is, right? Because yeah. Obviously the ending for this lends itself for a season two. I think we can both agree
that more than lends itself. Yes. Necessitates a season two.
This would be a terrible series finale. We could say that right off the rip. This would be a terrible series finale. I mean, there's some good things, but just a lot of questions that are posed at the end. And really, it kind of comes down to, how do you feel about those questions that are posed? Were your expectations too high going into the episode? I don't know if you like it more than the one, but I think you gave it a 10.
Okay. I think you gave it a 10 as well. I think that you've been shilling for this series mostly the entire time. At no point did you really waver. I think you got exactly what you were hoping to get by the end of the series. You got to some contact with the outside world, but we still have a lot to learn about their outies. You know, we knew a lot about Mark's outie. We learned a lot about Helly's outie here. We learned a little bit about Irving's outie and nothing about Dylan's outie. So other than he's got three kids, mm-hmm. That's it. So I think that leaves a lot on the table that you're happy is still on the table, because you've been very patient with this series, much more patient than I have been. I think you loved it. I think you loved the tension of it. I think you loved everything with Mark at Devin and Rickon's house. I think you adored that stuff. I think you loved everything at the gala. I think you liked the Irving stuff. I don't know if you loved the Irving stuff. And Dylan's more or less an afterthought. That might be your one criticism of this episode, is that Dylan is more or less an afterthought, and Irving, actually, Dylan is like a MacGuffin in this episode. He's just holding the levers. He's necessary to be holding those levers, but that's about all he's necessary for in this episode. And Irving really got put on the back burner. This was really about Mark and Helly. So that might be your only criticism of the episode. I don't know if you like it more than episode 7. I think you probably do. So, but yeah, I could say you gave it a 10 out of 10, and this is probably your favorite episode of the season so far. Not so far. The season's over. This is your favorite episode of the season.
I have quite a bit to say here. So do you want to reveal your rating, or do you want me to go first here?
I'll reveal my rating. Okay. I gave it a 10 out of 10, but I still like episode 7 more.
Okay.
So I think that the Dylan and Irving of it all probably pulled this episode down below where that one was, because Dylan really is an afterthought here, and the Irving stuff I found a little bit disappointing. Irving, obviously he's researching Lumen, but we don't know why he joined this. He got severed. We have no idea. Maybe to infiltrate, but I don't know how you think you're going to infiltrate when you can't even remember anything from the outside world. But so his stuff really didn't work as well for me as the others did. Mark and Helly worked so well for me. The Mark, Gemma, Miss Casey thing, to me, makes this season. If that stuff weren't in there, I would have a lot of negative things to say about this season. But I love the Mark, Gemma, Miss Casey thing. So that part was great. And then the Helly thing, I mean, the fact that I was right is really cool. But I thought the Helly stuff was also just very interesting to watch. So, and just presents a crazy dynamic between everybody, really. I mean, the whole series, I would love to rewatch this season just with the context of those two things, that Helly is an Egan and that Miss Casey is Gemma. Like, I can't stop thinking.
There's a lot of rewatchability in the season. Like, oh, for example, yeah. Milchek taking all those photos he does.
Wow. Yes, right? Exactly. Yeah.
Like, oh, no, it makes a lot more sense. It's for it's for media promotion.
And exactly. So so this episode, I think, makes me appreciate so much of what came before it. Like, I had been wondering, I think I wondered out loud on the podcast, maybe I didn't, like, why they tolerate Helly's bullcrap. Like, right? And obviously, this is why, you know. There's this one line here Oh man, what was it? I'm sure we'll come to it. But one of the early episodes when Harmony is on the phone with, oh, I guess the board, maybe? I can't remember who she's on the phone with, but she says she's, oh yes, it was the board, because it was Natalie was in the office and they were giving her a hard time about meeting quota, and she says, we'll be okay now that we have our nimble new refiner, right? And so as they're just gassing her up, right? Harmony is gassing her up, like, because she's an Egan. She's got it. She better be good at this. It's her company. But they use that adjective to describe her again in this episode. Did you catch this?
Yes, they called her
nimble. Yeah, Natalie tells Helly that she's on in 20 and needs to be nimble. So, like, that adjective comes up twice. That's really cool. But there's just so much. I read an article about all the things that we should have probably picked up on that would have indicated that Gemma was Miss Casey, like, from the very beginning.
Did she sneeze twice?
What?
Did she ever sneeze twice?
I don't think that came up. But, right, like, one of the things that I didn't even make this connection. Why didn't we make this connection? I listened to our coverage of episode 4, which is the episode where Mark gets the first wellness session that we see. And he has to sculpt with the clay. And we had just – they just showed us the scene where Audi Mark goes to the tree where Gemma had the car accident and hugs the tree. And then he makes that tree. Why would he do that? Because his wife is right there, right? It's so cool. Like, that stuff is amazing. So this episode does make me appreciate all of the stuff that came before it for so many more reasons than I ever thought I would. So that's a great part of it. I still feel like we don't know anything, really. We didn't even get to meet Irving's Audi, or I guess we did.
We saw him painting a bit last episode.
Yeah, in last episode. And we saw the one scene with Dylan's Audi. But that's it. Like, we don't know why they chose to go to Lumen. I guess I'm guessing with Irving that it was to infiltrate. But I have no idea why Dylan chose to enlist in the Severance program. We have an idea now about Helly. We still haven't. Well, I guess we got to meet her quite a bit throughout the season. Yeah,
I think we have a pretty good rationale that it's at least for, like, Lumen propaganda.
Yeah,
and exactly. It seems like now, I don't know if she's doing it to please her father or if she truly. Mm-hmm. It looks like that's the big reason why. She probably has some incentives for it, but. Yeah,
maybe. You know, one of the, I think, most eerie things in the whole series is watching this episode with all the stuff with Helly talk about her like she's your sister. All that stuff. but what did she say to her on the recording? She said, I am a person you are not, right? Mm-hmm. So we know, yeah. So we know that a person who's very important to this company views the severed employees as not people. That's dark.
It is.
And we also know that her father wants to get this severance procedure done to everybody. Everybody gets the chip.
That'd be pretty cool.
To create another version of yourself who's not.
A chip for you.
You get a chip and you get a chip. You get a chip. Yeah. But to create all these different versions of yourself that are not actually people, that's very, very dark. They're not viewed as people. So anyway, a lot that I love about this episode. The gripe that I've had all along about no interactions between the Audis, I can live with no interactions between the Audis. I can live with that. I do have a harder time swallowing the pill of I don't have any idea why Dylan and Bert and Irving chose to become severed. But
I have faith in time you will learn, right? Like, they're not going to
grow up these characters. I would think so.
So
yeah,
I'm not concerned about that. What I have learned throughout, like, watching series, like, I mean, Better Call Saul is a really big one that showed this for me. Same with culprits are elected for this reason, but a slow burn, right? It's in the details and just kind of mundane things that are interesting. Mm-hmm. And they pulled this off amazingly in this episode. So
they did.
At the very end, I had an instinctual reaction where it ends with so many questions posed. I went, those sons of guns. So what a setup. What a cliffhanger. And nine. I'm taking away.
Really?
I was emotional to the point, or not, like, I was like, come on, you can't do that to me. There's only a 40-minute episode. You could have put 20 more minutes into this. Why'd you do that to me? But like, after I thought about it, I went, well, in fairness, all these questions are new, right? Like, everything they posed is, I mean, barring Dylan getting pushed off, but I mean, the ramifications, who knows what's going to happen to him, right? It's not like they did the OTC contingency, he turned it off, slipped back in, no one noticed, right?
Right, right.
Which maybe they tried to do. He got caught. So what are the ramifications? So they're going to know what's happened now. And
Hallie knows that she's the boss.
Exactly. All of them learn stuff, right? Irving learns, like, his Audi, some aspects of his Audi, like painting the elevator, has been reading up on it. Like, they're all going to go back in with so much outside knowledge. Like, I wonder what the workplace is going to be like. And so that end of it, there's a lot of questions this series ends off in. Yeah. We can get into that later because there's a litany of them. But I did end up giving it a 10. I don't think I like this more than episode 7. I'll see if I change my mind when I go back to look at it for the recap, but I don't think I do. But it is still a really good episode. I have no complaints on the Irving stuff. I agree that it is not as, like, I was still fully invested and interested the entire time for all the Irving stuff, and it does not take up anywhere near as much time as the Kelly and Mark stuff. So, like, I care about that when it comes to relativity of stuff, because, like, again, let's look at the inverse, right? Not the inverse. I guess it could be where they show, like, a different plot point, but they're trying to tell their story in a specific way. I think the stuff they do with Irving is all interesting. It's not as interesting as Helly and Mark, but what, they just don't show Irving? It's like, well, I mean, show Irving, right? Well, like, we got to see Irving. Same with Dylan, right? Mm-hmm. They're showing Dylan to kind of remind us he's around, and then he's the reason why it stops. So,
you know what I think my favorite part of the Irving story is? This is weird. Milchick.
Oh, no, well, what is it? Oh, sorry. Irving? I thought it said Dylan. Dylan. Yes, my bad.
No, my favorite part of the Irving story, and this is such a subtle thing, was when he's looking at the list of severed employees, that is an enormous list.
Mm-hmm.
That was so many people on that list.
It's a lot more. I did not pause to look at the names and stuff. I did.
I didn't really find anything interesting, except there was someone named Devin, which is a little strange to me.
Mm-hmm. All right. But there's a lot more than we've seen so far that we
can
assume are severed. So
mm-hmm.
who knows what's down there in the severed floor. But this episode is really good. I like it. Mm-hmm. I was able to get a refund on my seat because I only used the edge of it the entire time. Not about that.
I totally get why people love this episode.
Oh, yeah. And it's exhilarating throughout. And there's so many good payoffs that are season-wide. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this. I think they kind of have three different things with the – also, by the way, moving forward, if I talk about a character name, I mean their innie version, unless otherwise specified, because for the whole episode, it's basically – oh, speaking of which, cool how the episode ended and started with – the switch being flipped for the OTC contingency and ending with it getting unflipped. Like,
that was cool, yeah.
I like the continuity of that. But if we look at Mark, Helly, and Irving, we're kind of three classes of information, right? Mark, we know basically everything about Audi Mark. Like, we know way more than any Mark. Okay? So it's interesting for us to watch him trying to figure it out, this weird circumstance he's in. That's its own thing. And there's a lot of humor in that. There's so much humor in this episode. Oh, my goodness. And not only is it great payoff, but there's so much good humor. Like, when Mark's trying to figure out, you know, who's this woman that has a baby talking to him? Is this his wife?
How's our baby?
Oh, do you mean our in, like, the village sense? Or...
yeah.
But
The stuff with Rickon was hilarious.
Oh, Rickon.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was funny. Irving. So Irving wise, I mean, just some of the things he does are funny. Like, driving the car is pretty funny.
I was like, wait a minute, hold on. He's driving a car? How does he know how to drive a car?
So I'm not gonna.
I know. We don't know where the line is.
I don't know where the line is. So I'm not gonna. So for example, he doesn't know about GPS on phones. So he uses a physical map. Yeah.
That's true.
He knows
that's
about true. Maps. He doesn't understand like phone GPS. I'm assuming Irving's Audi has a smartphone.
Maybe. The other thing that I would say about the driving is he did go right for the correct car first try.
It was the closest one. In fairness. Okay. Right?
All right. So, I guess. Yeah.
So yeah. It's fair assumption, but you got the so that you know, that was funny. Helly's doesn't have as much comedy, but hers is so okay. So mm-hmm. So Mark's most information we already know about is Audi. That's fine. Helly has it's funny because we've never seen her Audi whatsoever, and in fact we saw Irving's last episode, but based on the sole fact that
we've seen Helly's Audi twice.
Well, okay, sorry. We have not seen her Audi acting as an Audi besides last episode where they glimpsed her at the gala.
No. Oh, her you mean her any acting as an Audi?
No, her Audi being an Audi.
No, we saw her Severance Procedure.
Okay,
in episode
right.
two.
Okay, okay.
And it was a big deal because Milchick said, you know, this, I think it's a miracle what you're doing. Like it was right there. Like
for her. I guess I mean in terms of her outside life, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like getting to know who her Audi is as a person, like getting this. So we don't know anything about her Audi as like a person, like their mannerisms, their personality, mm-hmm. what they're doing in life. You're right that was a clue that turns out she's an Egan.
Right.
But when we get to see her any being in the Audi, we have immediately a lot of information, like a background information, because we know Natalie, we've met Angelo and Gabby through
Devin
and mm-hmm. you know we understand and we kind of understand what's going on with this Lumen Egan company based on how the innies have been suffering, and there's a lot about the innies, like this party seems to be getting together of like, you know, Lumen and trying to push like a severance agenda, right? So like we understand a lot of what's going on despite not really seeing her Audi in the circumstances before. Irving, right. despite meeting his Audi for bits and pieces last episode, we know the least about. Right. So him.
Oh, yeah.
We're running in the blind. So when he's learning things, we're learning things right alongside him. Like this is all very, very mm-hmm. new to us. Helly, once we kind of learn that her, once we learn she's an Egan from the rip, or at least confirmed, mm-hmm. not much else is super new beyond like, you know, seeing how things are developing, stuff her father's system, but nothing's shockingly new. Right. Irving, the whole time, I'm sat there watching, like, oh, man, like, what's in that briefcase? You know, what's, he's been looking into things. Like, there's so many question marks with Irving seeing his Audi. So, basically, they kind of have, I felt in three different classes, the innies and the Audis. The mm-hmm. innies taking over their Audis, which is Mark. We know right. basically everything about Mark. We know some stuff about Helly. Like, we can make a lot of assumptions about Helly. And Irving flying blind with Irving.
Mm-hmm.
All things.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
But yeah, this is a very unorthodox episode. I guess we're talking about International Assassin from Leftovers. That's a very unorthodox episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that could be really popular in a lot of ways. It's memorable. Like, I'll remember this. This is really an episode you can't really pull off unless you have like this much setup. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's difficult to do in the way they've done it. And I guess you could argue that for a lot of series. But.
Yeah.
Even if you had people swapping bodies and all this other stuff, it's really interesting. And again, like all the comedy they kind of pulled off, or some of the moments they shared, like Devin speaking with a innie Mark, that's uh-huh. interesting stuff. And Helly trying to have her voice at the speech. So it's a great episode. I ended up, yeah. I gave it a 10. You gave it a 10. Is it our favorite for the season? Doesn't look like it. I think episode 7 might trump it. I'd have to check again, but. Still a really good episode. I see why people like it. It is definitely
good. 100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to talk about our favorite scenes?
Yeah, let's do that.
Favorite scenes.
So, this episode is formatted in a terrible way for
trying to man.
So, I'm going to tell you right now, I have formatted the recap a la Lost.
I was wondering if you would. I thought you might. Yeah,
of course I did. I've covered 6 seasons of Lost. I'm an expert at this. Listeners, check out our whole catalog on Lost. We've covered the entire series. Probably worth the watch. Also part of the Lindelof set, which is Leftovers. And I guess when we're already talking about it, Watchmen, Mrs. Davis covered those as well. Those are her limited series. Although Watchmen's a sequel to a graphic novel that's really good and worth a read. If you like superheroes at all, check that out. From someone who likes superhero content. Another. It's goated, as I might say.
It is. It's so good.
So for favorite scenes, the only time, so, and we're gonna have to hash it out on individual basis because I probably wasn't consistent throughout, but if they showed a scene, cut away, and came back and they were like in the same circumstance, like sometimes characters are talking, it cuts away, and they're still talking, I counted that as one scene.
Okay.
I counted that as one scene, and then the cutaway, if it's, you know, part of its own other scene, that's still another thing, but I stitched those together. The only scenes I also completely broke up Harmony. Harmony's across like a ton of them. She saw like if her call to milk check at all, whatever, we'll cross that if that's what your favorite scene is. I'm assuming it's not. The only thing is the only scene that counts multiple scenes are the beginning. I counted it where it shows all the characters and Dylan holding the switch, and the very end where Dylan is like flipping the switch and it's kind of all the cliffhangers or what they're doing before the OTC ends. So that's kind of how I formatted the scenes. Just to give you a bit of, I guess, warning or heads up for your favorite scene. If that affects you in any way, we might have some problems. It's difficult.
Yeah.
It's formatted in a very quick way. So feels intense.
All right. Okay.
Your favorite scene is Mark, I guess the aftermath of telling Devin the truth of what's going inside the Severance floor.
Okay, so, because that's not the way I took my notes, this describe it to me.
So it would be, we need inspectors down there to him revealing Harmony's name.
Okay, so not
two cutaways.
The stuff out. Okay, gotcha.
Yes, so there's, I think
so
there's
not him seeing Gemma's photo. That's not part of it.
I did not include that.
Okay.
Because
I think I know where beginning and end are for. Okay. Because I'm kind of making this up on the fly here because that's is a different format than
I understand it probably is. Yeah.
So, but I think I know what my favorite scene is. So I got your guess on register, and well, I'll guess your favorite scene. Now, you said that the final montage is one scene, right?
Final montage. So from the time or one scene, because I feel like they're all interconnected.
Yeah. So from the time Mark finds the photo of Gemma to the end where he says she's alive and Milchick tackles Dylan. If that's one scene, I guess that's your favorite scene.
So because of the way my notes are formatted, I've now lost track of what the actual time scale is in the episode. So it's, Mark seeing the photo, Helly giving her speech, and Irving going up.
To Bert's door.
Seeing someone going up to Bert's door and knocking. Which, by the way, the knock was kind of funny in its own right because he's never knocked before. I don't know if he knows. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he
might knock on a bathroom door. Anybody in there?
I feel like the customary thing is not to yell, Bert, and like knock at the door the way he's doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And this is, Bert doesn't know this guy.
Exactly.
And in a minute, he's not going to know Bert.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting. But yeah, okay. So that's my guess for you is from Mark finding the photo of Gemma to the end.
You got me spot on.
Yeah, that's a great scene.
I'm curious. Did I get you right?
No.
Oh.
No.
Was it the final scene?
I thought about the final scene. I almost picked the final scene, but I didn't. I picked the Mark Rickon Harmony scene. So
you did?
I did. I love that scene. So Mark, so Rickon's out on like the balcony, like stressing about his voice wavering. Sounds like a hamburger waiter. What's a hamburger waiter? It's not even a thing. I'm such a buffoon when I talk. Why does anybody listen to me? Why do I even bother writing this stuff? And Mark just like glowing about him.
Oh, I was so excited for this episode to see him with the Rickon.
It was so good. I loved it. And you know, Rickon just... It thinks he's messing with him because that's what Mark would have done. Audi Mark would be messing with him right now, but it really genuinely means something to him. And he comes so close to showing Mark the picture of Gemma right there, and that's, you know, tantalizing. But then he goes in and talks to Harmony, Which, I mean, this is all one scene, right? Because he's out of...
I counted it as, like, yeah, it's one scene. It's one scene.
Because they don't even cut away from Mark for this.
No, they don't. They don't.
So, you know, he goes in and Harmony, he's on his way to Devon, and Harmony stops him. And Harmony says, you know, when I was hugging you, you tensed up. Why did you tense up? Did you mean what you said earlier? Explain it to me. So you can tell that she's sussing it out here. And she's very suspicious of what's going on. I think she's suspicious that this is what's going on, that this is Mark Zinni. But when he leaves, he says, all right, thanks, Miss Cobell. That was a cool smoking
gun. I know. That is immediately off the bat when the switch is flipped and he's there with Harmony. It's like, yep. Oh. Harmony's gonna tell. Harmony's gonna, like, he's gonna act differently.
Yeah,
like, and she immediately keys into how he's nervous. She's so aware the entire time. She's slowly becoming like the boss self. You know, Harmony outside the office seems like a sweet old lady.
Yep.
Harmony in the office is a ruthless manager boss figure, and she's
exactly
throughout becoming more it. And it's so good. And yeah, this is kind of the payoff for it, at least her confirming that any Mark is on the loose.
Yeah, oh, exactly. And I knew, like, first of all, like, is there a worse person for Mark to have, for any Mark to have woken up to, right? Terror would be the only thing he could be feeling when he wakes up and he's hugging Harmony. But then, you know, right from that moment, actually from before that moment, from the end of the last episode, you know that she's going to figure it out, and you just don't know how. What's he going to do that tips her off? And all season long, I've been wondering why she has a different last name inside than she does outside. It's just so that this gag could play in the finale, I think. I mean, there's probably more to it. I mean, I'm sure that Selvig and Cobell have meaning. You know, she's got the doll with the hospital bracelet, you know. But so I'm sure there's meaning to both those names. But it was great. It was chilling. As soon as he said Miss Cobell, I was like, my heart sank.
And I'm like, no, oh, Mark.
No.
Because you're rooting for Mark here. You're like, oh, yes. Come on, Mark. Yes. Don't give it away. It looks like he's about to slip away, and he says the wrong thing. That is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was almost off the hook. All he had to do was just say thanks and not use the name, and he'd have been in the clear. So, yeah. So this is my favorite scene. And a lot of it, though, does have to do with the payoff of the Rickon worship. Because, I mean, we've talked about it so often. Like, that is, like, a holy scripture to them on the inside. So for him to see Rickon, like, I don't know if you noticed this, but throughout the episode, when Mark's walking through the house, he's walking by photos of Rickon and never noticing them. Like, you can see them clearly in the background. Like, it's sometimes they're blurred out, sometimes they're more clear, but he never pays them any attention. It's not until Rebecca hands him the book.
Oh, his eyes look so wide. He's so attentive for the entire book read.
He's my brother-in-law.
The whole bit of him trying to figure out his family.
Oh. Yes, it was very cool. But anyway, so I love the hamburger waiter scene on the balcony and the reveal to Miss Cobell that
that's good.
This is any Mark.
I'm gonna omit talking about my favorite scene just because we'll talk about it at the end of each segment.
Yep,
that'll be fine. But all right, well then, let's get into the hit show. Who said it?
The show within the show.
Who said it?
I'm going to tell you right now off the bat that this might seem like an episode of Bodies. Check out our back catalog. We've covered Netflix limited series.
I figured this was going to happen too. Okay.
Listen, it is what it is. There's four characters you follow in Bodies, and Mr. Sal would frequently have four quotes in an episode because there's four characters, and that was a sign of inflation to me.
Basically,
Now, the problem with this, and I think, I don't know if you keyed into it, but do you know the lines that Irving says in this episode?
Radar.
I'll Radar and Bert, and he mutters when he first meets Radar, and I think he would have complained about this. Hey, hi. And I couldn't even really hear him say it, but the subtitles show it. So, and so to prevent a firestorm here on Who Said It and to stop another Who Said It war, I decided to just tell you off the bat, I'm not necessarily going to be doing that because there will not be another quote. Because okay. All of his lines are, hey, hi, hi, Radar Bert.
Okay. All right. So how many quotes are there?
Three quotes.
Okay. All
right. Three quotes. First quote. Well, that was awkward.
I know this.
You know it, but can you pin it down?
No, I'm not at the moment. I got to think my way through this. Well, that was awkward. So let me go through each.
I guess you're a big hint. It's probably not Irving. Unless I've
not Irving. I don't think this is the Dylan Milchick stuff either. So that I think
you don't
this
remember
is coming
Dylan saying that was awkward.
Nope. So I think this is coming from Mark's story. But let me think about Helly's story a little bit first, because I don't know who would have said this in Helly's story. I don't think it would have been Angelo or is it Gabby? Is that his wife? Angelo, yes. And Gabby. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't think it would have been Natalie. I don't think anybody like did anything weird at that gala. I don't think it was her father. I think this is something from Mark's story. This sounds like Devin to me. So I'm going to start branching from there. So what was awkward about that Devin witnessed? That was awkward. Awkward. Oh, wait a minute. Is this the two like idiot friends are trying to, don't answer this. I'm thinking out loud.
Yeah.
Are trying to judge or not judge Devin for revealing the baby at a party like this. Oh, I don't know. I don't think it was. Because I think I'm almost positive this is Devin saying it and probably saying it to Mark, but about what? That's where I'm having trouble. Where was she? What was awkward that happened that she would have criticized? Oh, man. I don't think she would have criticized Miss Cabell. Maybe something with Rebecca, but I don't think she ever interacted with Rebecca. I swear I remember this line being said. Obviously, it was. I don't want to take up any more time here. I'm going to say this is Devin to Mark, and it is in the bathroom.
Mr. Sal, with a heavy heart, I have to give you 0 points.
Wow.
It was Denise, or Denise, I don't know how you say the name, which was the two idiot friends, as you said it, as Mark was walking away from their interaction. You could hear clearly say, it's not even like it's like in the background.
Yeah,
you know, they make it obvious to say,
I remember.
Well, that was awkward. And their interaction with Mark.
Oh, man.
Sadly, you did not get the person right. Nope. You did not get the scene right. You did not get the recipient right.
No chance I would have remembered their names. So
no, I would have pressed you for the names. If you were confident, I would have pressed you in the names. But yeah. That's a that I breaks my heart, Mr. Sally. You were
I was there, but you
were so confident Devin said it, which I see that
I was not confident that Devin said it. I did have an inkling that it might have been during that scene, but I couldn't remember who would have said it. But anyway.
But yeah, so that's the scene. When Mark is leaving that bathroom, strikes up a conversation, and it's where he learns that Devin is his sister. He already tried to guess that she was his wife and got that
right.
So, I mean, it's so funny to me. Here we go, our baby. Huh, that's a little strange. He also meets Odd Rebecca in this scene, and I don't know why Rebecca has to be so odd. Like, I forget, she like apparently smells and like share a book with her, and she says she's gonna change her name again at some point in the episode, but
yeah.
He's trying to understand why Harmony's there. He'd like to have a private talk with Devin when she gets a chance because they seem close, maybe after the first reflection break. So that's what we see there. All right. Well, Valiant attempt. That was a...
I tried.
Valiant attempt. Yeah, I feel bad you only got 0 points for that.
Yeah, but, I do. I feel bad for it, too.
But we can't reward waffling. You know, we can't incentivize that behavior.
Waffles can be a reward, though.
I'm more of a pancake guy, if I'm being frank.
A waffle party with
oh, you know what? That's a lot more applicable.
With the tempers.
Well, I'll tell you, do you like waffles or pancakes more?
Waffles.
If I'm not making them, pancakes. If you want me to make you one, I will prefer waffles.
Really?
Waffles are way easier to make. I mean, if you just mean the freezer waffles. Like, can you buy freezer pancakes?
Yeah. You can, but they're not very good. Yeah. If you're talking about like freezer waffles, I guess that makes sense. I like those better than pancakes too, but I'm talking like a nice Belgian waffle and a waffle maker. Whoo, that's good stuff.
Well, on to a second quote.
Okay.
Thank you, but you don't have to say that.
All right. Well, if you picked one from each group, then we're done with Mark. I don't know if you did pick one from each group, but if I'm starting from this point. So if you pick one from each group, then we're done with Mark. Give it to me again. What was it?
Thank you. But you don't have to say that.
Okay. This is not a Dylan Milchick thing.
These are very hostile words to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that brings us to the heli stuff, and my immediate thought is this is some kind of interaction with Gabby. I don't think heli says it. I think maybe Gabby says it to heli, or maybe Angelo says it to heli. Thank you, but you don't have to say it. No, she didn't say anything that he would think, I don't think. Boy, I really don't know this one. This doesn't even sound familiar to me. This is also a function of having watched this episode a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe it's Gabby to heli talking about having three kids.
Incorrect.
Yeah.
It was another Mark scene.
Oh, you jerk.
It is your favorite scene. It is Rickon to Mark when he compliments him.
Oh.
And he says, thank you, but you don't have to say that.
See, I wasn't even thinking. I was like, oh, we already talked about Rickon and Mark.
I told you off the bat.
You did.
You made that assumption, but...
No, I'm you set this up. Don't even start with that.
What do you want me to do? What more can I do? I told you all the Irving quotes. What more can I do for you? What more of a hint can I give you?
You were like, remember in Bodies when you had one from each scene?
We're not doing Irving. We're not doing Irving. And I said that we might not be doing that. I left up the possibility.
I mean, shame on me for not even considering the Mark stuff. I should have gone back to that and considered it. But I think shame on you for trying to.
What? That wasn't it.
That setup was like, yeah, you know what you set up.
Well, you know what? Let's see if you can earn it back on the third quote.
Probably not.
Oh, I think you will.
You just gave me a quote from my favorite scene and I didn't get it.
Ah, that's happened to me before too. Don't sweat it. You'll get this one. She was wonderful.
No, I'm not gonna get this. She was wonderful.
I can give you a little bit more if you'd like.
No,
we haven't gotten a single point yet. This is a veritable difficulty.
What a jerk! You haven't gotten a single point yet.
Well, I'm sorry. All right. Sorry.
Oh man.
This is otherwise the most difficult quote.
She was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I think you could get it as is.
She was wonderful. It's probably another Mark scene. Oh, yeah. It was another Mark scene. You jerk. You gave me all three Mark quotes. This was the easiest one, by the way. This is Devin to Mark. She was wonderful, and she made you wonderful.
Yeah. Bob Gemma. Yep. Spot on. That's a point. We take those where we get those. What was wrong with
that? What a jerk. You set me up so bad.
How did I set you up so bad?
You set me up. Like, remember in Bodies when you used to give me one from each thing? Keep that in mind, Mr. Sal. Keep that in mind.
We're not doing that here.
You didn't say that. You said I'm not doing Irving here.
Listen, things could happen, but yes, you got that spot on. It is Devin to Mark. In my defense, I couldn't do anything from Irving. And Dylan and Helly were like so obvious, and I picked from them. Like it was like the most obvious thing in the world. Maybe Angelo and Gabby seemed like that early one. I could have found something there that would have worked. Mm-hmm. But Dylan and Milchek are just aggressive with each other. Milchek's just as a sentence.
I know.
Milchek one, but yeah, no. So I just did all the Mark scenes. But not all of them, but all of my scenes are in Mark's storyline. But yes, this is
In your defense, by the way, I have pulled this crap on you in bodies before. So.
You did do this. I remember you, real skeevery stuff before. Check it out. He stopped following the trend and started.
I did.
Doing some skeevy things.
Yeah, the bodies stuff was pretty dark. great coverage of that series, though. You really should listen to our podcast.
You should. It's an interesting series.
Very interesting series.
And I think our coverage is very interesting. It's great. Give it a check out. So we see the aftermath of Mark telling Devin the truth of what's on the Severn's floor. Are there inspectors? Can you get inspectors down there? Yes, we have inspectors. You can do that. I love just those little, she says some sort of
hands and pies. Like they got their hands in a lot of pies. Do you understand metaphors? Hands and pies. Yeah, I get it.
But Mark asks a straight up question. Well, you want to know too, right? But we already kind of know it for Mark, but any Mark doesn't know it. Why did Audi Mark put me in there? And straight up, Devin says it, when you lost Gemma, you couldn't teach anymore. Everything hurt. So you got that job to kind of spare yourself the pain, the 8-hour or workday relief from not thinking of the pain of the loss of Gemma. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. She highlights the fact that Rickon knows some big journalists out in New York, and perhaps they would be a better avenue to attack Lumen rather than the police. Because
they got their hands in a lot of pies.
If you know what that means. And this is where we get at least Mark, the penny drops for Mark and Devin, why is a Harmony Cobell here? Oh, Harmony Selvig? Yeah, she works for Lumen. And Devin realizes the immediate catastrophe that is. So she runs out of the room.
Yeah, she had just handed over Eleanor to her.
So there you go. And that is that quote for that scene. Good job, Mr. Salfer. Who said it?
No.
Hey, you were close.
Don't placate me.
You were close to 2 points.
I might have gotten that second one if I had just even allowed myself to think about them.
There's a universe, and not a very difficult universe, where you got all 3 points.
Yeah, I know.
Dream of that universe.
No, I don't want to. Well, we don't talk about our dreams.
You can dream on your own. And we're going on to the recap. Now, in Lost, I usually gave you a choice on how we were going to cover the episode. What do you want here?
Irving? Oh, you are giving me a choice.
I'm not, actually. I'm going to... Yeah, okay. Because it breaks the harmony stuff in between them. It doesn't actually matter. Yeah, what do you want to do? It doesn't matter to me. It won't matter.
I mean, I'll take Irving because I was not as enamored with the Irving stuff as you were.
So we get the opening scene, which for Irving's opening part in this montage sequence, he finds himself rocking out some music and painting that elevator hallway.
Ace of Spades. Go ahead.
He meets Radar and wanders the apartment, finds a briefcase, opens
it. I want to point out, by the way, you had mentioned that you wondered if the dog would bark at any Irving, but he didn't. Yeah. Dogs, not as smart as people say.
Were even smarter than we think. It's holding in its bark and it's going to tattle on to Audi Irving about any Irving. It'll be like, hey, Irving. Your innie was in control for a moment. Yeah. Get that back in check. How, you know, what a change if they had a talking dog suddenly.
You know what? One thing that kind of annoyed me about the Irving story too was, like, he's all alone and he's moving with no urgency. He's just kind of tiptoeing around the house. I guess he doesn't know that he's alone. So, all right. I guess I talked myself out of it. I forgive it.
There you go. And, listen, he's also in like a way foreign place. When we think of Lumen, or Irving is the most senior member of the department. So he's like, you know, imagine you're being 5 and you first go into a household, period, versus if you're like 40. You know what I mean? It's he's spent so much more time not in a circumstance of like living in a household.
But here's the thing. So the plan was get to somebody that you think you can trust and tell them everything, right? Mm-hmm. That was the plan. Mark and Helly were dropped into snake pits. They had to tread so lightly. They could not just blurt it out.
So I'll ask you. So what? Finish your thought.
So, but Irving is dropped into someplace where there's nobody else. What I would have expected Irving to have done is not snoop around his house, but like run and find somebody to talk to.
But the issue is he's to find someone he can trust.
Well, they don't know anybody. They don't know who they can trust. So you're gonna have to suss that out. But you can't trust anybody that you're not with.
Well, if he lives alone, it looks like, unless the person he lives with is at home right now, it looks to me that he's looking for contact or looking for some way to communicate with someone that he can trust.
In a locked footlocker?
Yeah, he's just looking around, man. What else is he gonna do?
He's specifically looking for Bert.
I think once he sees the opportunity to find Bert, he's going for Bert. But I don't think his immediate plan. I think he's dreaming of finding Bert, even when he goes into his Audi's body. But he's just, you know, let's say he found contact information to Dad, or like if he has kids or whomever, he would have gone with them. But the second he sees that Bert's an option, oh yeah, Bert's the person. Bert's the money. Even though Bert probably isn't a good option. Well, maybe. Maybe in some ways, maybe not in others. So he finds the briefcase. It looks like, is that his father's?
Retired? It's dad on the back.
It says dad. So. Is that him in the photo, though? I don't think that's him.
Well, no, that's his father.
All right. So
that's way too old to be
That's him. What I thought, too. Cause it's all black and white. But. He discovers his Audi has kept, looks like, anti-Lumen documentation, like newspaper headlines, and tracking down severed workers, infiltrating or whatever it is, but something anti-Lumen, it appears. And he did find Bert's home, and he uses the map to figure out how to get there. So he doesn't need GPS. He takes the map, takes some car keys, heads out the door, figures it out, gets this whole driving thing down path.
Very easy.
While he's driving... he passes by Harmony, who finally gets on the phone with Milchek. We can chat about that in Dylan's sequence of scenes. But he eventually arrives outside Bert's, and this ties into like my favorite scene where he gets outside Bert's. He sees that Bert does have someone else in his life, and he is with the guy. So it looks like that sticks with you, whether you're in or out, right? So I mean, it's already showcased certain things stick with you. Yeah. Irving painting the elevator.
Mark sculpting the tree.
Mark in the tree. So there you go. That appears to still stick with you. And it looks like this is a heartbreaking thing for Irving, but he still goes to the door and knocks the only way he knows how. But sadly, it looks like the OTC ends before he can tell anyone his end of the plan.
That's true.
There you go. That's Irving's storyline. Cut.
All right.
And done.
All right.
Three more.
Do I get to pick?
Yes.
Dylan.
Dylan is the shortest one. He flips the switch and I guess holds the fabric of time for the innies in the Audi world.
Two things about Dylan holding the switch here. First,
the job of two men.
Yeah.
Or two people. First of all, at least.
If they knew it was a stretchy thing, it should have been Irving. He's the tallest one. Second of all, you got to take your jacket off before you do this. Like, how do you not take your jacket off?
Nah, who cares?
It's constrictive. Like, he can stretch farther without the jacket. The other thing, this is the third thing I just thought of. I like how often Dylan's glasses are right at the end of his nose.
The
very end. But his nose is very short. Like, it doesn't stick out very far at all. So his glasses, like, they just look like they're going to fall off all the time. Probably. Anyway.
There must have been a better way to hold these switches. But I guess he didn't have a lot of time. Right.
Right.
So whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He holds the switches. Milchek mm-hmm. finally answers Harmony's call, and she informs him of what's going on with the OTC stuff. He's figured out any marks on the loose. She's going to go to the gala to stop Helly. You stop Dylan, who's probably perpetrating this due to his waffle party. So Milchek books it down the halls. So, right. He's on a man mm-hmm. on a mission, and he goes to get Dylan out of the security room, but he's tied the door shut with his belt. Now mm-hmm. he starts to saw the belt. Meanwhile, I mean, he tries to hoax Dylan to open up the door for him. Like, come on, you're the best refiner of the quarter. He has some incentives, like some coaster thing I think he offered him.
Coffee cozies.
Yeah. Oh, cozies. You're right. Yes. Cozies. Yeah.
Paintball.
Yes, Paintball offers to tell him, you know, you have two more children, I could tell you their names, just let me in.
Yeah.
So he's doing whatever he can, probably because he understands the importance of the gala tonight. Like, this is right. very important that Helly is not out on the outside.
Right. Exactly. This is the carrot part of it. And then
he'll
stick him in a minute.
Oh yeah. So he we'll see if he stabs him.
But
he finally saws through and tackles Dylan, ending the OTC for all the characters, and part of my That's favorite right. scene. So there you go.
That's right. I will say that the one thing that I did kind of enjoy about this is, well, I mean, I enjoyed this in general, but one specific thing was when he's bribing him, and you know, you can have, you know, the cozies and the paintball and all this stuff. He says, "I want to remember the day my son was." He drops an F-bomb in there.
Yeah.
Born.
You, Milchek.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mr. Milchek. He does still
You're
call
right. Mr. You're right.
Oh, man. That's how you know you've been really damaged.
Oh, it's so dark. It's yeah. pretty good, though. Oh, man. Yeah. So curious what's going to happen to these characters next season.
Oh my god, I know.
And next season could be a real flop. Listen, they could really fumble the ball here, but there's good potential here. You know, like this series could go for even more than a second season. I don't know how much further it could go. Like,
I don't know. We got to see what they do in the second season. Yeah. I know they filmed part of it in the Utica train station, though. Utica, New York.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's cool. We live close to that, if you can't tell.
So. Yes.
That, yeah. Forgot all about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mark or Helly?
We're almost done with Mark. Let's just finish up Mark.
All right. Innie pops into existence and is talking with Harmony, very confused and a little scared. But I mean,
that's terrifying. Together
where he is. So he heads over to the bathroom. Oh, yes, terrifying. He goes to the bathroom. Strikes up a conversation with Devin and
how's our baby.
He takes his gamble shot. Oh, all right. he's just trying to figure out what's going on. There's a lot going on. This would be so overwhelming, but
oh my god, I can't even imagine.
Well, I remember, and same for Helly too, where they both went, "This is the most amount of people we've seen," when they meant the rest of optics and design.
That's right.
Right, and that was like mm-hmm. what, like 6-7 more people? I'm not positive, mm-hmm. but not as much as this party for Mark. No. Right, there's a lot of people. It's kind of overwhelming. Like, oh my goodness!
Yep.
I mean, so much things must be overwhelming. Like seeing, I'm sure his knowledge of cuisine and food is he has melon and eggs for party food. Like what? Yeah, like what else? They didn't really show him eating stuff, but it's. There's got to be so much foreign stuff going on.
You know, now that you're talking about eating stuff, that now I immediately think of food allergies because that's my life. But this is there wasn't a mention in episode one. They never came back to it. Helly is allergic to almonds, and they never came back to that. I'm surprised. There was also a man feeding goats, baby goats, that they never came back to.
Well, they talked about it, so maybe that's a season two thing.
That's right. The goats lay the eggs. That's right.
Well, we'll see. I'll give him leeway on the goats. I'm also not very concerned about the goats.
Yeah.
So Mark has this conversation where he's awkward. It's Rebecca. He has his the book reading. They go to the 7-minute reflection. Your favorite scene.
Mm-hmm.
Harmony. He slips Harmony's Miss Cobell to her, so now she knows the truth. Mm-hmm. Devin going to go meet with Mark. Gives Eleanor to Harmony, who immediately ditches Eleanor in a room to drive to the gala and call Milchek. More on that in Ellie's stuff. We then see the aftermath of Mark telling Devin the truth. We talked about that. Devin, once the penny drops to Devin that Harmony is a Lumen employee, she goes looking for Harmony, and she's gone. Car's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, no, my baby's gone. Nope, baby's all right. Thankfully, Patton found her. He found her.
Yes, yes, thank you. I found her. Look who I found. It was me. I found her.
Gotta love Patton. And Mark looks over in the room and sees a photo of Gemma, otherwise known as Miss Casey to us, and runs over to tell Devin and manages to spurt out she's alive with holding a photo of her, and is a OTC ends. Oh, man. I mean, it's not only like the I wonder if next season, and maybe I don't know if they will, but if it's only going to be seeing the outies and like their aftermath and their given circumstances, you know what I mean?
Right.
The situation they're in needs to put themselves in.
Yeah.
And how they feel about it. That'd be an interesting way to start it off. Maybe not, though. I don't know.
Maybe for an episode, not the whole season.
Oh, no. Sir. Yeah. No, definitely. I don't want to see that for the I guess that's an interesting to flip it. We get mostly the innies and not a lot of the outies, and then now we get a lot of the outies and a lot of the innies.
I mean, I don't even know how these innies function. I mean, all these outies are going to have the information that, oh my god, my innie took over. Well, except maybe Irving. Irving might not know.
Yeah, Irving might not know.
But Helly and Mark are going to know that. I'm not sure Mark is even going back.
Well, here's the thing, though. Helly might not, but any Mark has been humanized to Devin, right? So I would bet you if Mark went, I'm not going to go back, Devin might go, well, what about him? You know, he had feelings and emotions like you kind of made a consciousness into a being, but now you just want to get rid of it?
Well, I suppose that's a possibility, but
I think that is something they will touch on. I bet you that's a prediction I'll make for season two, that one of the outies, I think more specifically Mark, will not want to go to work anymore, or he'll want to quit. But and I'll flag it this much: Devin will convince him now.
You have to go. Mark, but I mean,
no. Well, just even if he doesn't end up going back, she'll point out the fact that's not fair to any Mark.
Yeah, I guess so. But the punishment that's waiting for them, my God, are they even going to let Dylan out now? Holy cow.
Well, she might also frame it as the onus, like, what about all the other innies that are being suffering in there? Like, you have to go back in there, you have to keep working there, and you got to expose what's going on in there. So not just for any Mark, but for all the innies that are in there.
I mean, I guess, but it's not like he can just go to work undercover anymore or as a sleeper agent or whatever. Like, he's going in hot. Like, he knows that they know that he knows.
Yeah.
Actually, he might not know they know, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
Well, Harmony looks like now.
Yeah, Harmony disappears.
It looks like that it looks like he can assume that they know that.
Yeah.
Or he knows that they know.
I'll tell you what. If I were in charge of this place, these four will not be interacting with each other anymore.
In a way, you'd want to fire them.
I know.
So I don't.
But you can't fire Helly. That's not even an option.
Well, maybe now it is. You've gotten your media press from it. Like, just
that's true.
Who knows? And you know, who knows what the pipeline's like for severance employees? Maybe it's not very high. Maybe, and we talked about this, there's a very specific reason why they have them do what they do. But like, they might have skill sets that we don't quite understand, but they have a way of figuring out, or they know of, as to why they do the jobs they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, you can't just replace Mark. It might seem as though he's a cog in the machine, and he definitely is to an extent, but he's a specialized cog that is hard to get for whatever reason, because we don't even quite understand the nature of the work they do. That could also be a factor as well, why they can't get rid of him. But maybe they have like contingencies for this. You know, well, obviously season two will show that, but I'm pretty confident what I outlined will happen, though, that Audi Mark won't want to go to work anymore, and Devin will try to say, you got to go to work for these reasons.
Okay. I that would surprise me, but we'll see.
All right. I like that, then. That's a good flag there. A plan.
Okay.
Devin. Oh, so, oh, yeah. And then there you go. That's the whole end of his sequence. Yep. So there you go. He's alive. Last one, Helly. We see her in the beginning montage speaking with Natalie. She's going to be on stage in 20 minutes. She meets Gabby. She meets Angelo. We get confirmation from Gabby that she was severed from her birthing for her childbirth. And this is a very pro-severance circle here. They're glad to be joining together and pushing this agenda.
Yeah, let's change some minds.
Yeah, let's get it going.
Well, I'm certainly going to try.
Helly walks around and sees that an experiment, publicity, marketing, whatever you want to really call it, but her Audi put her in there really just to show that, hey, it's great, getting severed. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And Annie has a great life, too. Look at these photos.
Right.
Lenny Milchick's photos, of course. And, she even sees clips of her Audi saying very pro lumen speak, the core principles. Severance brings us together, and clearly hiding all these traumatic events that have occurred to her. her war with Innie Helly. So the hanging scare. So
but I mean, we now know why that was such a big deal to the board, that she tried to hang herself. By the way. In her Innie is called Helly R, but her Audi is Helena Egan. So I'm not sure where the R comes from. That's interesting.
Helly. So the R. Yeah, the R, I don't know where that comes from either. You're right. I thought about that too. The Helly and Helen stuff. Whatever. Helly, a nickname for Helen. Mm-hmm. Be it, but
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where the R comes from.
I don't either.
Just give them random letters. Mark just happened to get S for Scout.
Oh, it's random.
Helly heads over to the bathroom to get herself together, and her father, was it Jamie or Jame? Mr. Egan.
Oh, yeah. Let's say Mr. Egan. Let's do
Mr.
that.
Mr. Egan speaks with her. And, I mean, this tells a lot, right? He was concerned if Helly's fine after what that Innie did to her. So even he
that
has
Innie.
Understanding. Yeah.
Yep.
That the Innies, they're not all kumbaya. But no. Hey, get ready for your speech later. Remember that prototype chip? Man, one day everyone's going to have a chip and be Pierce children. This is going to be good.
And she, he doesn't realize that he's talking to Innie Helly, but Innie Helly is the one who's going to hear, who's hearing all this. Oh my God, they want to do this to everybody? This is horrible.
It is. And she, when she's alone, she says the break room apology line to herself.
I call it the act of contrition. I don't remember what they called it.
And the break room. I'm having a break.
Yeah, exactly. It's where you get broken.
Well, it's where you have a break. That's what they says. You don't get breaks otherwise.
Yeah.
Even though they seem to listen. I'll say this, given their workplace, there's a lot of draconian stuff. But what? Yeah. They seem to not be constantly pushed to have to sit there and work. You do give them some freedoms. maybe I'm getting I've started to Stockholm syndrome, give me sophisticated lunches and they take away a lot of my civil liberties and they lie to me and all this other stuff. But you know what? At least they don't drive me like a slave and force me to work nonstop. They seem to be able to goof around quite a bit and get their job done.
That's true.
Good for them, at least. In that
music dance experiences.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 3 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever the amount of time is. So she, Natalie takes Helly backstage, preps her for her speech. Remember, your Innie is like a sister. They're going to eat that right up. So she heads out there to start up her speech, and Harmony shows up and threatens Helly for what she's about to do. And even if you get away, the rest of the MDR crew is going to suffer for what you're about to do.
Yeah. And by the way,
to threaten her.
Yeah, Threatened her through her friends. Exactly. Yes, yeah. So a couple things about Helly. First of all, this music that she walks up to, this badass Matrix style music. Mm-hmm. So cool. It's like she's walking up to the stage, and you know what she's thinking. She just came from talking to her father, who she's never met before, who wants to do this torture experience to everyone. You remember in episode 3 in perpetuity, she said, "Boy, yeah, I wish I knew anything about my history." Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but she was looking at her history. This was
you're right.
Her history. Okay, but she's grappling with the fact that she is responsible for this, and also could be responsible for ending it. So, and but when she makes that march up to the stage, and that like, you know what I mean? It's like, mm-hmm. It was certainly like a badass march to the stage. It was very cool.
Helly's storyline kind of showcases to me like, or not showcase, it reminds me of like spy movies or like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, there's a fancy party, but no one realizes she's deep undercover.
Yes, exactly.
She literally is Helly.
So deep. Yes.
And she goes out there, gives her speech. The crowd thinks she's being funny at first when she's saying things mm-hmm. like she's an innie. I'm presuming they're broadcasting this.
They
might not be, but that she's mm-hmm. an innie, and that everything they've been told is a lie. They torture them down there, and mm-hmm. she gets tackled by, I think, Natalie, and her OTC ends.
She got tackled? I don't remember that.
I think she does. Maybe I'm wrong. Did she get pushed off the mic?
Maybe. I mean, the mic was like an over-the-ear mic. It wasn't like a stand mic.
Oh, like a PSA esque thing.
Yeah.
Or not a PSA. So, a keynote. That's what I mean. Sorry. Like a keynote. Like a TED talk.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what it looked like. But I mean, there's a lot of symbolism in this too. Like these videos that play during Helly's stuff are eerie. They're just so eerie. Like she's saying things like, you know, my work family, these people are my family. We're connected. The severance connects us. It doesn't separate us, you know, and the principles, the nine core principles, and that's what connects us. Knowing that they're all living by the same principles as me makes us a family. You know, it's so eerie. And then knowing that the hate and venom that Helly are innie has as she watches this.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, really cool. So, yeah, this is really cool stuff. There's the symbolism of when she comes out onto the stage, the door to the to come out onto the stage is a picture of her, and so when she comes out, it splits. So that's pretty cool.
Too. Oh yeah, that's anyway. Her symbolism. I did just check right now. I've actually paused it at the perfect moment.
Okay.
First of all, I didn't quite look at her when she's talking. I don't think she even has a microphone. I think she's just talking.
Oh, okay.
On like a platform stage. This is a relatively small crowd of people, like, yeah, 50 mm-hmm. people, not an auditorium. Right. And number two, she does get pulled off, or at least, I don't know if it's tackled or pulled away, but it's Natalie that runs it.
Okay.
Or at least all someone right. wearing a similar, it's hard to tell, but someone with a red dress.
Okay.
So she does get yanked off, which is not a good look for a Lumen.
No.
They had to yank off someone. You know, that might give her more credence to what she's saying, especially now that her OTC ends. Oh, yeah. Egg on their face, right? If they didn't shove her off, it might, you mm-hmm. know, she might be able to save it a lot easier. But
that's true.
The fact that they pushed her, that's why I checked too. I think it matters a lot to me of how season two or how Audi Helly can play it off. Because the fact of she's now been taken off the stage, like that's makes it a whole lot worse what she just did. A whole lot worse. So.
Yeah, you're right.
And worse it is. So, yeah, there you go. That's the recap, though. That is season one. I guess before we talk about some of the end season stuff, do you want to check the time?
Yeah, let's check the time.
Ain't no time like a TV time. I think the people at TV Time certainly gave this episode a 5.
Oh, boy, I'd be shocked if they didn't. So I'll make the same guess, but... they certainly did. 97%.
Whoa.
That is lines up nicely with the 9.7 rating on IMDb. The other 3% were on 4 out of 5. So
they're like, oh, I get a lot of cliffhangers.
Everybody loves it. Yeah. Okay. Favorite characters, though.
I think it really goes two ways. Ellie or Mark.
I think it has to be one of those two, right? I think you said Mark.
I think you said Mark. The people said Mark.
I think the people said Mark as well.
You got me right.
And then we got the people right. 61% said Mark, but I said Helly. Helly worked really well for me in this episode. I know my favorite scene was a Mark scene, but this Helly stuff, I was enamored with this. Like the idea that she is like the boss. She's undercover boss, right? Kind of.
I would definitely agree to that in a way. Yeah.
The reason I picked the Helly stuff is because this Helly being who she is changes my outlook on the entire season. Like the whole season of this series has been flipped on its head because Helly is an Egan.
Yes. Like it rationalizes a lot of things, but it also like if we ever see any Helly, well, we'll probably see any Helly again. And if Helly goes back into work and we see her again, just like all of them when they're in, but Helly especially, she hates her outside self.
Yeah.
Is they all have a justification to dislike their outside selves from putting them in there, but hers is like propagating it. It's like the worst you can be.
Exactly. Or
being the boss itself. Like you're like a rung below it.
But she also goes in knowing that she's the boss. Mm-hmm. Like she goes in, if we see any Helly at work again, she's the boss and she knows it. She doesn't have to take anybody's crap. Like, right? Like,
yeah. She understands she's like, so well. I mean, the problem though is that they can torture any Helly while she's in there.
Exactly. Yes. And she can't communicate with her Audie really. They can cut off communication.
And I don't think her Audie would really care to communicate with her. And then, but there's leverage in her life now.
Yeah.
And she recognizes that in some ways.
Yeah.
Potentially.
But there's also like, there was part of me in watching the Helly stuff where I was thinking, well, now in the early parts of this, I mean, she could be looking at this and thinking, I want to take over this even more now, not to like right any wrongs, but because look what I have, I am like the queen up here.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be up here all the time now.
Yeah, like a taste of power. Everyone coming to her, interested in her, telling her,
I could see a scenario where she got on stage and she applauded Severance.
Oh, okay. She's got like a taste of the high life and she doesn't want to, she's drunk off, just the lifestyle and she doesn't want to leave it. Like it's.
Right.
To play along.
So that's one scenario I foresaw, and I wasn't sure if that would have happened. But then even when she was out on stage, part of me was thinking, is she going to blow this in, or she's met the father, Jamie or whatever his name is. Okay, she knows who she is. Is she going to use this to her advantage now somehow, and just keep the whole thing under wraps for now because she's got other ideas, and I thought that there was a possibility that might happen too, but no, she did just blurt it out, which a very legitimate way to end it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely. So, but I was, my point is that with Helly, I wasn't really sure which way she was going to go. So, and I feel like hers was probably the most shocking because she gets up there and all of a sudden she's not in an entirely unfamiliar environment, right? She can
speak on it.
Once she knows her name, she knows her history. She knows who she is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, Mark is completely disoriented. Like he's got to figure out. He's hugging Mrs. Selvig for God's sake. He's got to figure out who his sister is. That's just disorienting. Helly gets the drop right away. I am the boss. I'm an Egan, and she can start playing a role immediately. She has to, So it was pretty cool. I love the Helly stuff. So Helly was my favorite.
I don't fault you at all for picking Helly. It's clearly between Mark and Helly to me. I went with Mark just because I felt the Helly scenes, especially her speech and the peaks of it, are really good. But there's just a lot more. I guess it's the difference between a boneless chicken wing and a bone chicken wing.
Stop!
If you want to put it in some retrospect here, not exactly. The analogy breaks down a bit, but boneless chicken wing. There might be
a chicken nugget, piece. You mean?
No. Boneless chicken wing. That's what the menu says.
Chicken nuggets.
I read the menu, all right? Okay. I don't want chicken nuggets. I'm reading the menu here, and I get more chicken out of it, you know? And it's a more pleasant experience. My hands don't get dirty. I like the boneless chicken wing. I also like boned in chicken wings, too. I'm a fan of that. But in this instance, Helly is the bone-in chicken wing, which I know you prefer over boneless.
I do. That's an actual chicken
guy.
Wing.
I'll call myself a boneless guy. So I would, and that's why I take Mark. So it's a very apt analogy here. And a lot of food mentioning here in the podcast.
My 8-year-old loves chicken nuggets too, by the way.
I like chicken nuggets as well, but I like boneless chicken wings too. Thank you for bringing up the unrelated note.
So next time you go to McDonald's to, you know, you order chicken nuggets, don't order chicken nuggets. Order boneless wings. I bet they know what you're talking about.
You think they would go, oh yeah, boneless wings.
Yep, there you go. You want sweet and sour? Well, or barbecue sauce?
We'll mix them in with you, the wings. We'll toss them in. But yeah, that's why I went with Mark. I just feel like just throughout, like, for bits of Helly's scenes, I wasn't as invested, right? Once I knew, like, when she's talking with, like, when she's looking at all the media content and I've already kind of seen what's going on with it, I'm not as intrigued by it. Some parts of the conversation with her father, the conversation with her father as a whole is pretty interesting. But like,
when she's I almost picked that scene.
That was interesting because it kind of reveals
my favorite scene.
The bigger ploy here, and that he also recognizes that not important. But the Mark stuff, there's just a lot going on. A lot of stuff with the characters we've gotten to know and love, and like his interactions with them. Mm-hmm. I liked it a lot. And it's the situational. It was a dramatic irony. The irony I never can remember. Well, we know it and he doesn't, but there.
I believe that's dramatic irony.
Dramatic irony. Then there you go. Love me some.
Yeah. No, the Mark stuff is great. I mean, certainly Mark is a close second for me. But yeah, so it's the two things that I love about this finale. And I guess the Gemma thing has been building for this is the third episode now. Okay. But those two things that Gemma is Miss Casey and that Helly is Helena Egan, like those two things change the whole series. The whole season needs a complete rethink because of those two things.
That's true.
And that is very, very cool. I really do like that.
You are right about that. You might, honestly, I might have picked Helly as my favorite character if you didn't predict that she was.
You would have been more surprised.
I would have been. I would have been more surprised. So maybe I would feel more like that. You're not wrong at all with that. But it is what it is. Mark and Helly, definitely the top best characters for the episode. And that is it for the season. Now, there is no release date for season 2 yet, correct?
I can't believe that. But yes, you're right.
Because the series premiered over 2 years ago now. Or not premiered, sorry. Well, yeah, it premiered over 2 years ago. The finale aired April 8th. 2022. So it's been more than 2 years with us covering this since that came out. So I think we saw articles where it said end of 24, early 25, but who knows? There is a season 2 though, so that's a bright side. I don't think that'll stop at all.
It's coming sometime.
Coming sometime, so that's gonna be added into the pool. We have a recap coming out next week for Severance, so please be on the tune for that, where we'll talk about like our favorite titles. There's not really character deaths, so we're not going to be covering character deaths, but superlatives. We're going to rank our episodes, discuss that, and you know, other things. So it's a good way to recap the entire season. You can also watch it as a refresher for when season 2 comes out to get back up to snuff with a bit about this series as a whole. Might I also recommend, if you already have Apple TV, we've covered another series, Shrinking, on Apple TV. It's a pretty good series. It's got Jason Segel and it's got Harrison Ford, both pretty big name actors, and it's good. I mean, we really liked it. It's on Apple TV. It will also get a season 2 at some point. So if you already have the service for that, might as well, you know, give that a watch. Absolutely. And while you're watching it, oh, who would have guessed? We have also covered that series. So how about you check out our coverage too while you watch that series?
Do you know what's really cool too is they have announced some cast members for season 2, new cast members for Severance I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And one of them I'm very excited about, and I think you will be too. So
do you want
it
to,
is
oh, okay
do you want me
yeah,
to tell
yeah,
you
yeah 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 please
okay it is Alia Shawkat. Do you know who that is?
She's from The Old Man, right?
The Old Man, yes. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited about that.
Listeners, we did cover it. Yep. On I think you can find out on Hulu or FX, right?
Yes, it's an FX series that was on Hulu, yes.
And season 1's out, we covered it. Give that a check out. That's a pretty good series. They will also have a season 2 at some point releasing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That should be before the end of the year, I would think.
All right. Anyone else that you want to mention?
Oh, there are some other ones that that I'm familiar with. Gwendolyn Christie, who plays Brienne of Tarth on Game of Thrones, Lady Brienne of Tarth. She's great. Bob Balaban, who I know very well from all of the Christopher Guest mockumentaries. We're talking like Best in Show, he's in Waiting for Guffman. He's definitely in Best in Show. He's definitely in A Mighty Wind. For your consideration, he's awesome. John Noble, who played Denethor in Lord of the Rings: The Return of the King. So yeah, there's some pretty big names coming into the series that I'm excited about. But none more than Alia Shawkat. I am so excited. Oh, she's so good.
I mean it. Check it out. We have that in the back catalog. And I guess while we're shouting out the back catalog, The Old Man. What's something that's like the antithesis?
Outer Range coming soon.
We're going to be doing season 2 soon, so mm-hmm. you might want to catch up on that. That's a Prime Video.
Soon, but I'm not looking at the calendar right now. Is it already? Oh, you're are right. We already dropping episodes?
It comes right after Severance ends, so we're going to have the recap, and after perfect. The recap, Outer Range starts dropping. So get ready for that. You can start catching up on season 1. We have coverage on that, and then you can hop right on to season 2. We'll be having coverage on that. There's also, going back to The Old Man, what might be the opposite series of The Old Man that we've covered. Maybe not the exact opposite. Centaur World. A little bit different. But check it out. It's a cartoon. We've even interviewed the creator of it, but yeah. I think it's worth the watch. Give it a try.
I do too. Love it.
And watch our coverage. The good watch.
Folks, there's so much coverage of so many series in our back catalog. Really, just scroll through there. It's incredible.
If you have a show that you've watched and you'd like to see if we have a podcast on it, like we have coverage on it, just get, you know, look up Show Hoppers in that series and see if we, you know, whatever your podcast app of choice is, see if it comes up. If it doesn't, give us a recommendation. That's why we covered Severance. People recommended it to us, and we went, all right, let's give it a try. We're late on the bandwagon, but why not? And I think we're both glad that we bought.
Oh, yeah. I definitely am.
One of us is glad that we've decided to cover Severance. No, we're both happy to have covered it. So thank you to those that recommended it. And if you want to recommend it, or if you want to give any other sort of feedback, showhopperspodcast@gmail.com. Always welcome to any correspondence. Please share the podcast, leave some reviews, and we'll be back next week with the recap, and then we're getting right into The Outer Range. But thank you for listening.
Shoehammer some showhoppers into your day.